All right, if you have your Bible, you can pull that out. We are in Exodus chapter 20, and we've got Ms. Hayden Trost today.
Hello.
How you doing, Hayden?
I'm doing good.
How old are you?
11.
11, awesome. Well, we're so glad to have you read. You're not intimidated to read in front of people, are you?
Not really.
Okay, we can tell. So I love the confidence. So you want to read for us?
Sure.
All right.
Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. This is the word of the Lord.
Awesome. Great job. Great job. Love getting different people to read the word for us in the morning. Y'all enjoy that? All right. All right, moment of honesty. Do we have any people that cry at movies here today? Any criers? Raise your hand if you're a crier. Yes, I love David and Colette. Great. All right. I love seeing some of the guys cry. All right. I am not a crier at movies. I remember when a man and I first started seeing each other and we were watching, it was an old movie of a rerun, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is the most ridiculous scene I've ever seen in a movie. I've got 15 ways that we could have avoided the situation that we're in and how we could move this thing forward. And I'm sitting there thinking that, and then I look over at her and she's just bawling. And I was like, we have two totally different ways of watching movies. But I got to be honest, I did watch a movie last year that made me cry. Anybody else see Top Gun? Yes. I don't, and I'm not even talking about Top Gun Maverick. Me and Isaac, we went and watched Top Gun Maverick. I was like, oh, that was great. We need to go back and watch the original. And so we went back and watched the original. And I don't know why, but, you know, Goose and Maverick, they're getting chewed out by their sergeant or commanding officer, whatever role he's in, getting chewed out. And yet there's also this thing, you know, they keep talking about being the best of the best. And I don't know what it was, but I just got emotional in that moment. And I started thinking about it later, and I was like, well, you know, I'm so used to watching movies about superheroes, and okay, here's two ordinary guys. But I think the other thing, and I actually talked to a friend, and he said the same thing. He said he watched it made him cry. I was like, what is going on with this? Are we just, you know, middle-aged and getting a little bit softer? What's going on? And I started thinking about it, and it was like, it was this sense of there's a higher purpose. There's something greater to live for. You know, these two guys were Air Force pilots and wanting to be the best of the best. And there was this sense of this is something honorable. And it's something worth giving your life for. And I just started thinking in how in our society there's so much against living for something greater than yourself. We're in a series on the family, and we're talking about different things that should be a part of your family. The thing we're talking about today is honor. 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 It's living for something greater than yourself. And one of the things that you'll see today is honor's getting pushed out. Honor's not talked about a whole lot today. You may hear things more about being authentic and being brave, but honor, it means that you're not just worried about yourself, you're thinking of something else. You're living for a higher calling. And I think that that's something that in today's society where you're so me-centered that, at least for me, as I started thinking about being part of a body that's greater than myself, maybe it's the Air Force or whatever it might be, it reminds you that there is something greater than yourself and that God does have a higher calling for us. We shouldn't have to watch a old movie to be reminded that we have a greater purpose. This passage, it reminds us that honor is it's to be a basic part of society, that honor is to be a part of your family. It's part of the goal that you have with your family. It should be something that we talk about. It's something that we teach, something that we are aware of and that we are striving after. We're reminded that we are to honor your parents. And the English word, let's just talk about what it means to honor your parents. And the English word honor means it's a high respect. It's a recognition that it's a special merit. It means that something is set apart, it's different than everything else. It's like the fine china, right? You got your paper products that you use. You've got your regular dishes that you use, and then it's the fine china. Hey, That's special, right? We never touched our fine china. Mom wouldn't let us hold that. Well, that was holy. It was set apart. So special recognition. Well, there should be people in our lives that we give special honor to. And one of those is our parents. We're to show a special respect for them. In the Hebrew language, if you're familiar with the Hebrew word kavod, God's glory, that's actually where this word comes from. It is the verbal form of glory. It's to mean, it means to honor, to set apart. It also means that it has a weight to it. There's a weight. If something is weighty, it's a substance to it. Those cheap paper plates, there's no weight to them, right? It's just you use it and you throw it away. Mom's fine china. There was a weight to that. There was a quality in it. Set it apart. And so we're reminded that as we think about honoring people, it means that we show a special recognition to those. It also means that we see that there's a weight. If you want to honor somebody, it means that their words have a weight on you. Who they are has a weight to it. Maybe you think about a grandparent that was instrumental in your life. Man, when he said something, when grandpa said something, there was just a weight to it. I took it to heart. So it means to honor. The opposite of honoring is to dishonor, to disrespect. I don't know if you know it or not, but in the Old Testament, one who dishonored their parents was in danger of being put to death, in danger of being stoned. So it was something that it had weight to it. The command had weight to it. There was a real responsibility to honor your parents. So just think about that when you're in the heated battle with your mom or dad. Think about, wait a minute, am I disrespecting my parents? We need to think about that. And something else that we see about this is that we're to honor your parents. It doesn't set an age limit on it, does it? It doesn't mean, hey, honor your parents until you're 13. Doesn't say that. Also doesn't say, hey, honor your parents until you're out of the house, or honor your parents until you're 30. Some of us, we're getting older, and we're still called to honor our parents. We're still called to do that. We're still called to show them respect, to give them a special place in our lives. And this verse, just to kind of widen it so we can see a broader application of, as we think about honoring our parents, you'll also see in the Bible that this idea goes past just parents. You'll see it's honoring grandparents, honoring your forefathers. It also becomes a way of honoring those who are older than you, honoring those who are in positions of authority over you. And you see that play out throughout the Bible. One notable place is with King David. Remember, King David, he's anointed to be king, but the problem is there's another king. There's crazy King Saul that's only looking out for himself. And so David has numerous opportunities that he could have taken his rival out, but David wouldn't do it. There's actually one time where they're in a cave, and Saul is just right next to David. Saul doesn't even know David's there. David could have killed him, but he doesn't do it. He refrains from it, and he says, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. He's recognizing the place, God's hand on the life of Saul, and he's saying, no, I'm not going to dishonor him. I'm not going to harm the Lord's anointed. There's this deep respect that he had that showed for Saul. Saul's king. Saul's not David's father, and yet there is an honor that is there. When you're seeking to honor the Lord, it allows you to honor other people. You can rest in him. You're not living for ourselves. We're not living for our own honor. We are living for the honor of the Lord. And when we do that, we realize we can honor other people. We can trust God with the people that he has put in our lives. We realize part of honoring God is honoring the people he sovereignly places over us, whether it's a parent, whether it's a boss, or somebody else. So we're called to honor other people. And it doesn't matter what season of life you are in, how old you are, right now there are people in your life that God calls you to honor. Maybe parents, maybe bosses, maybe it's your own family. And just that we should show honor to others is an important part of the Christian life. So I want to look at a few ways that you can show honor to other people. All right? Four ways to honor others. Four ways to honor your parents. The first to look at is you honor people with your actions and your attitude. You got to start right there. If you're going to honor somebody, the actions that you take reflects what you think about them. If your mom says, don't do this and you do it, you have shown that her words carry very little weight with you, right? Someone says, don't do that, you do it, you've dishonored them. It's very simple. I remember being in D.C., these great big statues up there, the Lincoln Memorial. Abraham Lincoln, you know, it's the memorial to him. If you were to go up and spray paint that, you would be in big trouble. There's value on that, and when you do those kinds of actions, you dishonor it. And so we have to think about, how do my actions reflect what I think about somebody else? How do your actions, what do your actions reflect about your thoughts towards your parents? What do your actions reflect about the people God has put in your life? We are to show honor to others. In Ephesians 6:2, it actually quotes this passage. Ephesians 6:2, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. So right here we see that there's a connection to honoring your parents and obeying them. Now, one thing to say here is when it says children, it's actually talking, the word for children in Greek, it was used of a child that had not reached adolescence yet. You know, when you're younger, your parents tell you to do something, you just need to do it. As you get older, you're called to honor them, but it doesn't mean you do everything they want you to do. You can still honor them, but you don't have to do everything that they do. But when you're younger, that's an important thing to look at. Hey, if your dad told you to do this, you need to do it. We honor them. We honor them with our actions. We also honor them with our attitudes, all right? Sometimes you can do the right thing in the wrong way, and it doesn't go well, right? You've got to honor honor others. Honor your parents with your attitude. Yes, that forbids eye rolling, lip smacking, foot stomping, and murmuring. Right? Kids, tell you that? Parents. No eye rolling, smacking, you know, none of that. We honor people with our attitude, with the attitude that we have towards them. It's important to do that. It's important that we show respect to others. If we're wanting to honor somebody, we show respect. We can reflect gratitude towards them. I was thinking about this as we're parenting teens. This is something that, you know, when you're in that teen stage, you're not quite a child anymore, but you're also not quite an adult. Teens, you have to remember, you haven't made enough mistakes and experienced enough setbacks to be an adult. So as you get older and you find yourself crying, it's so hard. Just know you're in the process of becoming an adult. You're not there yet, and so you want to honor your parents. You want to honor them with your attitude, how you talk to them, the things that you discuss. You want to make sure you have a respectful attitude towards them. And it's also important that parents, you're called to model that for your kids. You know, it talks about we need to honor our parents. I think one thing that is implied in this is that we should live honorably. Parents, you should live honorably. I feel like there's a trend where it's like we see kids having to tell their parents what they should do. Just in larger society, sometimes you see that, and it's like, well, who's the adult? What's going on here? If we're adults, we should live honorably. We need to honor the Lord. If you want to put your kids in a really difficult situation, call them to honor you and then live in a dishonorable way. It's really hard, right? Most of us, we've probably experienced that tension at some point in our lives, in our relationships, or we've experienced in other ways. But it's so important that we want to be honored. Well, we've got to live honorably. But there's also a sense in which if you're the child, you're called to honor your parents even if they aren't living honorably. So there's a lot of give and take in this, and there's a lot, what I've found in the course of my life, a lot of prayerfulness and thoughtfulness has to go into how I relate to others, how I relate to my parents, the things that I say, the things that I don't say. And so it is a lifelong journey trying to figure out, how do I honor my parents in this situation? My boss is asking me to do things that I'm not sure I should do. How do you honor them in that? What does it look like? You've got to turn to the Lord. You've got to walk with Him, seek Him, and honor Him first and foremost. We also, as children, we're called to honor our parents. As parents, we need to instruct our kids to do that. It's not something that they just learn. They're not going to get on their video games and, hey, I was playing this video game today and I just learned how to honor my parents, right? You don't get it there. You don't often get it in school, probably not in textbooks. And so as we live out our faith, this is one of the ways that we practice living out our faith. What does it mean to honor the Lord in this situation? What does it mean to honor one another? We've got to train each other for that. And we also have to think about the times that it's hard. The times that things aren't going the way that you want. How do you react to that? Parents, how do you react? Are you living honorably in those situations? Sometimes we want to be honored and then our kids don't honor us and then there's an explosion. You're teaching your kids how to walk through those times where things not going the way you want. 2 Corinthians 6:4, Paul talked about this and he said, we live to commend ourselves in every way. He says, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonment, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, all those adverse circumstances. But he said they live to commend themselves by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. So sometimes things don't go the way we want. Are we still going to live honorably? Maybe sometimes the kids aren't reacting or dealing with things the way they should. Are you going to bring disgrace onto what's going on, or are you going to live honorably in that with your actions and your attitudes? We've got to make sure that we don't give that up when other people are doing the wrong thing. Sometimes your kids, they disobey, and they're going to learn from you on how to handle those situations. When they see your reaction to certain situations, that begins a pattern for them. And so if you want them to react well when things go wrong, you've got to do that yourself. We've got to live honorably. God calls us to honor others. He calls us to honor our parents. So we've got to do it in our actions. We've got to do it in our attitudes. Second way to honor people is in how you speak of others. How do you speak about your parents? Speaking is powerful. The musical Hamilton. Everybody got familiar with that? The popular movie came out. Do you know Alexander Hamilton? He dies in a duel. Why was he in a duel? Well, he spoke dishonorably about Aaron Burr. And Burr challenged him to a duel. He said, the only way I can restore my honor is to face you in a duel. Hamilton had said inappropriate things about Burr at a dinner party. Speaking is powerful, isn't it? The things that we say about others has an effect. So if we want to honor somebody, we need to make sure that what we speak about them is appropriate, that it's right, that it's good, that it's just. In your speech to your parents, are you honoring them? And really, this is just applying other scriptures that talk about how we are to speak to others. Ephesians, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up. So you can ask yourself, the things that I said, was that helpful in building them up or was I tearing them down? Was that respectful or disrespectful? Another great proverb on the power of words. You know, we learned that saying in elementary school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie, right? Words hurt. Words are painful. Sometimes those bruises and broken arms, those heal pretty quickly and you forget about it. But we will rehearse things that people said to us on the playground in elementary school. Anybody ever had that? Things that people have said 5, 10, 15, 20, they come back. There are words that can just have a deep effect on us. So we need to make sure that we are using our words to build up and not tear down. God calls us to do that, calls us to speak honorably. We need to make sure we are speaking well of our parents, that we are honoring them. And also just living out our Christian life to speak what is helpful for building others up and not tearing them down. James 1:19. Great verse to remember. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So when your kids are doing things and they shouldn't be doing them, you coming in just yelling, that doesn't produce the righteousness that God wants, right? When other people are doing things that you don't want, just getting mad and yelling, That doesn't help. Speaking dishonorably of others doesn't bring about the fruit that you want. Doesn't bring about the fruit that God calls us to cultivate. The anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And so those times of rash words, we just need to look at that and say, you know what? There's no place for this. As a follower of Christ, there's just no place for me to use certain words. There's no place for words that I hear others use. They're out of bounds for me. I'm not even going to go there. Make sure you have some of those things. Make sure you set boundaries on how you handle disagreements. Make sure you have boundaries on how you speak about others. If you want to honor them, it's going to mean that there are certain things that other people may say that I'm not doing that. You may be out to act a certain way, but no, I want to honor the Lord. And I can't honor the Lord and say those things. I can't have that attitude. It changes things. It reminds you that you have a higher calling in life. Your life's not just about you and getting what you want. It's about honoring the Lord. And it means that there is meaning and significance to all that you do. Proverbs 19:11. It says it's to a person's glory to overlook an offense. There may be times that you just overlook things because you realize, you know what, I don't need to harp on this. I don't need to complain about this. Maybe sometimes things get emotional. You can take the emotion out of it. You can de-escalate things by what you say. Speaking honorably into a situation rather than just tearing things down helps to redeem the situation and whatever may be going on. It's also a way to just cultivate gratitude in your heart. There's always deficiencies. If you know anybody, there's always faults and problems that you can point out to them. It may be legit faults and problems and sins, or it may just be different preferences. And if you focus on those, you just begin to be more and more ungrateful. Or you can look at somebody and decide, you know what? There's things I can harp on, but I want to point out God's grace because they need to hear it. I want to build up mom and dad. I want to encourage them. I want to build them up, but you know what? It also helps me. It helps me to see the ways God is blessing me through that person. It's a way to cultivate gratitude and thankfulness. Changes the way you view that person, also changes the way you view your life. We need to do things like that, to speak intentionally. To intentionally, you know, so honoring, it's not just a matter of what you don't do. It's a matter of what you do do. It's a matter of the positive things that you do to encourage, to affirm, to show affection. We want to use words to do those things. Another thing I was made aware of as we think about trying to speak to honor others, how about in the area of jokes and sarcasm? That might be a little bit relevant to me and my family. I'm just kidding. That's very relevant. We are a sarcastic family. I think we excel in the gift of sarcasm. It was interesting. I was talking to somebody. I said something last week. I was using an illustration talking about how Amanda helps me to grow. And sometimes as she's helping me grow, I don't always want to grow. I was talking about how she was pointing out my sin in the area of being stingy. And I'm like, wait a minute, woman, I don't need that. Afterwards, somebody asked, hey, do you call her woman? Is that really edifying to her? And I thought about it. I was like, you know what? That is a great thing for me, who tends to joke and be sarcastic, to just go back and make sure. Can you laugh at that? Like, do you feel my enough support in other ways that you can hear that and be okay with it? And just so you know, she did. She laughed, and we talked about it. Because we have a little thing when we're kind of getting on each other a little bit. Sometimes I'll refer to her as woman, and then she will refer to me as dude. So we're driving along, and it's like, you know, she wants to shop somewhere. It's like, woman, we are not shopping again. And she'll look at me, and she'll be like, dude, we're going to save a lot of money. So we have a little banter with that. I don't like being called dude. She doesn't like woman, and we play off of that a little bit. But it's important that when we do that, that we know we care about each other, that she knows I respect her. And I want to make sure that as I share things about her when she's not around, that people know, hey, he really cares about his wife. He respects her, honors her. And in our family, we'll start seeing how sometimes the jokes can start flying, and they're funny for a little bit, but then somebody gets upset. And typically they get upset because we've gone too far. We've just said too many jokes without affirming the other person. And when you start to feel like, man, maybe that person doesn't like and respect me, then the jokes are no longer funny. And so we've got to make sure in our family, as we joke about things, as we talk about things, are we also building one another up? Are we showing respect to each other? Are we affirming each other, loving each other? You know, telling jokes, being sarcastic, that's something that there is freedom in Christ. Some people may say, well, I can't do that in good conscience. And that's fine. Other people may say, well, I can do that. There's freedom in that. It's debatable. But one thing that you can't debate is that you're not to tear your brother and sister in Christ down. Don't tear them down with your freedom. That's Romans 14. So if you're working through some of this in your family, just, you know, that's a great passage to go and read and think, hey, are we building each other up? Am I using freedom to indulge myself? Am I showing care and concern for others? It's a great way to remember that we serve a higher master in our family, in the big things and the little things. Sometimes people think, hey, we made all the big decisions, we got those right, and then they die in the little things. They die in the jokes that just have enough of a barb on them that when they're told, they sting and they hurt. Sometimes we don't resolve conflicts. Sometimes we share our grievances through jokes, and it can kind of not be funny anymore because it's like, wait, I don't know if you're being funny or if you're trying to get me to change something. We need to make sure that we're speaking clearly, that we're resolving issues, that we're talking through differences that we might have, and that's where it can be fun to joke around and kid. If you're not doing that, it becomes hard to be sarcastic and joke because the other doesn't know your love and affection. Words, I often think about it, it's like a house of cards. You know, as we think about building people up, it's like a house of cards. You've got to be very intentional where you place those cards. You've got to be very precise. And as you build that house of cards, man, it's a big, beautiful house of cards. But it's amazing. With one breath, that house of cards can crumble, right? And it can be the same way with our words and our words of affirmation and our encouragement. We can spend a lot of time building things up. And then in just a few misspoken, ill-placed words, statements, we tear it all down. And that's when we've got to go back. We've got to apologize. We've got to ask for forgiveness. We've got to talk through those things. We can always build it up, but it's amazing how much you can work at something and then so quickly tear it all down. Make sure that you are honoring others. Honor your spouse. Honor your parents. Even parents, honor your kids by your words. Third thing, honor parents by forgiving them. Read this in another article. I thought it's a great point. Honor your parents by forgiving them. If you want to honor somebody, forgive them. Your dad may overcook your steak. He may tell the same jokes that he's been telling for 20 years. And your mom may tell stories to your friends whenever they show up of things that you don't want her to be telling. You got to forgive them. Those are funny things, things that we can laugh at. But anybody that we're around, they're going to see our shortcomings. They're going to see our deficiencies. They're going to see our own fears. Maybe you get mad at your dad because he just doesn't ever want to spend money. I think that's a common thing. You can be bitter about it or you can extend forgiveness. And there's things that if we don't extend forgiveness, we just end up dwelling on those and becoming more and more bitter. I've done funerals for people where there were children that got up, and while most of the family is honoring their parents, there's a few that are just still bitter about little things that happened in the past, and it seems so petty. But you also see they just haven't been disciplined to keep their hearts in line with the Lord. They haven't been disciplined to keep themselves in the things of God, and bitterness has just grown and started to fester. You can honor others by forgiving them. You also, as you grow up, you start to realize just how young your parents were. I know that happened for me. As I started to grow up, I started to see things that my parents had done and just start to realize, man, they were young. They were kind of growing up as they were raising me. That may happen to you as well. Start to realize that things happen in life and parenting. Things just start coming at you faster than you could imagine. You didn't know how to deal with them. And then if you're not being disciplined to keep yourself in the Lord, those things, they just fester. So you, as you begin to grow up, you start to be more sympathetic towards others. You start to see what they've been through. You start to realize, you know, it's easy to be a backseat driver, right? The the quarterback on the couch, you know, right? It's easy to be like that. But when you start walking through those things, you start realizing how difficult they are. You need to forgive. You need to let things go. I was reflecting on this. A lot of my teenage rebellion was because things happened in my family that I didn't know how to deal with. There were hurts, I would say legit hurts. There were also hurts that I just made a big deal out of things that weren't a big deal. And I had to come to a point where I had to own my own sin before the Lord. I started realizing all the things that I did wrong. I started realizing my side, the problems that I contributed to messy situations. And I realized I've got to own that before the Lord. And as I started owning my stuff, it allowed me to start to forgive others and to let things go that I had held on to. Oftentimes, if you're at a place where you don't want to speak well of somebody else, it's bitterness, right? You're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness. There's things that you haven't let go of. If you want to honor them, you've got to forgive. If you're at a place where you don't want to honor somebody, maybe you're like you still want harm to come to them, you've got to deal with what's in your heart. You've got to take that to the Lord. And it doesn't just happen. These are things that you've got to work through. You've got to think through. You've got to talk through. You've got to read God's word. See what it says. See what he says about you. And we've got to live faithfully before him. We need to be more aware of God's grace in a person's life and their shortcomings. If you're ever going to be grateful, if you're ever going to be thankful, it means that we're more aware of God's grace, God's blessing in that person than their shortcomings and deficiencies. We honor others by forgiving them. In family, your family is going to disappoint you more than anybody. Your highest highs are going to be experienced with your family. Your lowest lows are going to be experienced with them as well. They're going to see you at your best. They're going to see you at your worst. You are going to see them at their best, and you are going to see them at your worst. There's things that we know from the Bible about being human. One thing being human is that all have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. It's one thing to know that propositionally. It's another thing to know that experientially. And if you are in relationships with other people, you are going to see that lived out. And then as we see it, we've got to figure out, what do we do with it? How do we deal with it? How does your family deal with the problem of sin? That's how our faith gets worked out in the day-to-day. You know, when your husband's short with you, when your wife gets upset, when those things, that's where the rubber hits the road. In those moments, how are we working through those things? How are we honoring one another? How are we working through forgiveness? Does this Jesus stuff really matter on Monday morning and Tuesday night and Wednesday at the ballpark? It does, and it can change all of those things. It changes us from being bitter, resentful people to being people that can forgive and laugh and be joyful in all circumstances. We got to seek to do those things. Another fourth way that we can honor others is by seeking your parents' wisdom. Seeking your parents' advice is another way to put that. Ask your parents for advice. You know, Scripture encourages us to live humbly and to not assume that we know everything. If we want to live that out, great way to do that is by making the most of the people around us. Great verse on this. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So if you want to fail, don't have any counselors. If you want to fail, don't seek counseling. If you want to fail, don't seek after help. If you want to succeed, then have some counselors around you. If you want to succeed, have some people that you go to for advice. This is where so often I just feel like the enemy sows seeds of doubt on this. Because we get in a difficult spot, and then we feel like we need help, but when it comes time to it, it's like, no, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, they're too busy. No, if we want to go through life successfully, we're going to need others involved in our lives. We're going to need counsel. We're going to need helpers. We're going to need other people. You should have a group of counselors in your life that you can go to for different things. One way you can honor your parents is by talking to them about the things that you're going through. Seek them out. This is another way that you can involve them in your life. So as you think about what are the challenges that you are going through, what are the hard things that you have? Maybe you talk to your parents about that. Maybe you just bring them in. Say, hey, I'm struggling because I can't figure math out. Or maybe you go and you say, hey, I'm struggling. I'm having a hard time. Because when Grandpa died last year, he was the person that I was closest to. Maybe it's things like that. You've got to open yourself up. People can only help you if they know you need help. Involve the people around you in your life. Involve your parents. Look, there may be a lot of things that you don't see eye to eye on. And some of you, you may have parents that you don't feel like they're going to advise you very well. It's still a way you can seek them out. You can talk about what's going on in life. Maybe you figure out what things to get advice from. My dad, if I need financial advice, I'll talk to him. If I need advice on how to get through emotionally supporting somebody else, I'm probably not going to ask him for that. That's not his strong point. I'll talk to somebody else on that. But you find ways to involve them in what's going on. Now, I may tell them, hey, I'm trying to think through this issue. Dad, will you pray for that? Asking for prayer is a great way to involve other people in your lives. It's a great way to make fewer mistakes. You get counsel. You get wisdom. Another proverb said, with many advisors, a war is won. Going through life, it's like going through a war. It's a battle. You have an enemy for your soul. We've got to resist him. We've got to go against that. We've got to press into the things that God calls us to do and have. Counselors, we need that. Parents, there's probably nobody that loves you more than your parents. There's nobody that is rooting for you more than your parents. Talk to them on those things. And look, you're in a church where you may be at a place where you look around and it's like, well, you know, I don't have that father figure. I don't have that mother figure. Maybe you think, I don't have either one. This is where the church is such a powerful place. I didn't grow up with the greatest example of being parents or a loving family. A lot of what I learned in the church. I learned by getting around guys who were older than me. Hey, how, you know, to hear them talking about being intentional with their kids, being intentional to work through different things, that helped me. Started seeking advice from older guys on how to be a dad. Made a huge difference in my life, and it can make a difference in your life. Sometimes it's, if you don't have that father figure, that mother figure in your life, seek somebody out. Talk to somebody. Just start involving them in your life. Everybody wants to play a role in helping another person. And if you're in a place where you need that, start praying about it. Ask the Lord to put somebody in your life. Start talking to others, making friendships with others that you would want to involve in your life. One thing, I came to a point where I was like, you know what? Who are the families that I see that it's like, that's what I want my family to be like? And I started trying to be intentional with some of those guys to spend time with. What are you doing? How are you thinking through these things? I remember being a newlywed husband and having no clue what I was doing. Now I'm a father of four. I have no clue what I'm doing. I've got to get around other people to learn from and to be sharpened by. We want to do that. We want to seek advice. We want to ask our parents for wisdom. We want to seek the wisdom of those who are older than us. And all of this, it reminds us that we have a higher calling in life. We have a higher calling. We're not just living for the moment. We're not just living for ourselves. We are living to honor the Lord. And just about everybody wants to live for something that is honorable, something that is worthy. You don't have to be a Top Gun fighter pilot to live for something that is worthy. You don't have to be a Marvel superhero to live for something that is honorable. You don't have to be the top 1% of the academics in your school to live for something that is honorable. God has a purpose for each of us. He has a calling for each of us. He has put you around other people for you to make a difference in their lives, for you to impact them. And the way we live for that is by submitting ourselves to God and saying, God, I don't just want to do the things that I want to do. I want to accomplish your purposes. I want to live for you. I want others to know you because of me, because of what I've done, because of how I've lived. I want them to know that there's healing in all the places that they've experienced pain and hardship. I want others to know that all the suffering they've experienced, it can be redeemed in Jesus Christ. I want others to know that. That's what I want to give my life for. You start living for the honor and glory of God, and it changes every relationship. It starts to bring healing. Maybe where there's been bitterness and resentment, it starts to bring healing in those things. We have the highest and most sacred calling there is, which is to live for the King of Kings. We want to live with him, live for him. Every breath that we take, we want it to be for him and him alone. And that's what sets us on a course of honoring others. And that's what also frees us when we begin to see all the mistakes that we've made, the ways that we've dishonored other people, the way we've dishonored our parents. Like, nobody's in church because they've done that perfectly. Nobody's in church because they raised their kids perfectly. We're here in church because we know we're not perfect, and we know we need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is that Savior. He lived perfectly. He honored the Father in all things. He honored his Father even to the point of shedding his own blood and giving his life for our sins, for our ransom. And the amazing thing is that as he did that and was fully obedient, the Father also honored him. He honored his sacrifice. He raised him from the dead, seated him on a throne above all thrones, and right now he is reigning at the right hand of God. And he's the one that we can go to when we've messed up. We can turn to him, we can pray, we can find grace and mercy in him. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he did what we could never do. We thank you for the gift of life that is in him, the forgiveness of sins, and that we can have reconciliation with you because of what he has done. And God, I pray for us today as we are here. God, I pray that we would see that we are called to something higher. In light of what Jesus has done for us, in light of the fact that we can be forgiven, that we can be redeemed, God, we want to be quick to forgive others. We want to be quick to speak well of others. We want to be quick to share with others the same grace that we have received. Help us to do that, God. Help us to see that our families and the way we treat our families, it is a way that we can daily submit to you. Not live for ourselves, but for you. And that because of you, we can love them. And God, I just also pray, I know many of us have different hurts. Maybe we're working through right now. Maybe it's just long overdue and working through those. God, I just pray that you would help each person to know how to deal with those things, how to go to you, how to trust you, how to seek after healing from others. And God, I just pray that they would find that in Jesus. They would find the right words to express their hurts, their disappointments, their longings. And I pray that they'd also find that word of grace that would strengthen them and encourage them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one last song. Just want to invite you to stand. It's just a way to express your commitment to the Lord, your desire to honor him. Let's just lift our hearts and voices.